Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio, the George Washington Broadcast Center, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
I wanted to do something on Memorial Day, family-wise, just something. I came up with the idea of a hike. We'd go for a hike. Weather was going to be glorious. I didn't even remember that my kids have never been on an official hike. I mean, we've gone camping and done various things and walked, but not like you look up a hiking trail, it's X miles long, and you bring a backpack with water and sunscreen and all that sort of stuff. So I picked a hike, and I didn't want one that was too easy, because I've been on a number of hikes in my life. They were just too freaking easy, especially if you're a 13-year-old boy and an 11-year-old boy with lots of energy. They're like a big, clear, flat path. Sometimes they're even paved.
And it's a walk.
It's a walk.
Yeah.
It's a walk. It's just a step above a mall walk. It's a mall walk with a nicer view, which is fine. It has its place. I'll bet the average age of hikers is on the older end. Like, my mom and dad do a lot of walking over there, so I think they cater to that crowd a lot, which is fine. But I wanted something more challenging than it. I didn't want to, like, free climb Yosemite or something like that, but I wanted a little more challenging than that. Well, I overshot by a lot, and I've done a fair amount of hiking in my life. This was the most grueling hike I've ever been on, and it wasn't a good introduction for the first hike. Partially because all of the little bridges that took you apart across, like, ravines and creeks and stuff like that were burnt out in the big fires in California. And so now you had to just find a way to traverse it on foot.
And it was
relatively difficult. And the path was really overgrown because the bridges were burnt down. Nobody's been hiking these trails. And so it was really, really difficult to stay on the path and figure out where it was. And it was really overgrown with weeds and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. He's got the trail fever, folks.
Yeah, I got trail fever. So I also made a very poor choice footwear-wise. I don't have any hiking boots at this point in my life, and I wore some work boots that are completely flat on the bottom.
Oh.
And walking on the, like, long grass that is dead and bent over flat, walking with the flat shoes, it was like walking on ice. I mean, I'm from the Midwest. I know walking on, it was like walking on ice, where you'll take a step and just all of a sudden, whoop, your feet go out and you're on your back. I mean, that's the way it is walking on slippery ice. It was like it's on this grass, except it was like next to cliffs, and I was really worried that I was going to go and go rolling down the cliff and, you know, be landing on the rocks or whatever. And
Oh my God, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, luckily my kids had better shoes on and they did not fall at all, but I fell a bunch and it was really hard. And my kids were complaining and wanting to go back the whole time, and I kept talking about building character and, you know, not quitting and all these different things. It was a 4.7-mile total hike, and I don't know how much of it we did, maybe 3 miles. Actually had to turn back. I fell 9 times, which is a lot of times to fall down. I mean, completely to the ground, either flat on my back or flat on my stomach, fall down. And as the numbers grew, as I got up to, like, fall number 7 of landing flat on my tailbone, and I would just lay there and groan and think, I would say, go on without me, leave me here. It was just, although I did tell them at one point, you'll be talking about this in 40 years, I guarantee you. When you're 53 and you're 51, you're going to get together for some family something or other, and you'll be laughing about this, even though it's miserable right now. Sam had so many foxtails in his socks and down in his shoes that his feet were bleeding by the time we got back to the truck.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was just not pleasant.
Not pleasant.
So I weigh over, and they both say they never want to hike again, and I've ruined one of the great recreations of all time, so I'll have to, I don't know, present. They said I would have to pay them to go on another hike, so I might literally pay them to go on a better hike to reintroduce them to hiking.
Do you remember what the trail was rated? Of course, it was probably rated before the bridges burnt out.
Yeah, that was the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Brutality.
Poor choice. And a friend of mine suggested that I get a walking stick, which she said sounds a lot nicer than cane in terms of something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, nice job, Dad.
Do you know how many times 9 times is to fall completely to the ground? That's a lot of times to fall.
As an older fella? Yeah.
Or of any age.
He had a fall. Then he had 8 more.
Oh, God. We were so beat up by the time we got back to the truck. We got in the truck and we all just sat there for a while. And we were so beat up and so much pain and tired and worn out and discouraged. We could barely move to get to a restaurant where we ate giant ice cream cones to try to soothe ourselves.
Wow. Nothing more soothing than a giant ice cream cone.
Maybe the next walk will be the, wide, paved, flat mall walk that my parents enjoy doing.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Nice death march, Dad.
Yeah, that's what Henry said going to bed last night. He said, that was like military camp. Why did you do that to us? You've probably had this situation, though, as we were going along, things got a little snipey in the family, more than I would like. A little, people not, little complaining, then me, not enough complaining, let's have a positive attitude. You made us go on this stupid hike, that sort of thing. Henry at one point said, this is really testing our family.
Wow. Well, part of my kid's childhood was the goats and sheep that they send around to eat down all of the grasslands because they're so fire prone in the summertime. Obviously, no matter where you live, wildfires are a problem in California. Well, some of the communists, well-known suspects behind a lot of the evil doing in California for the last several years, are now trying to screw that up, which is going to cause innumerable deaths from fires. But we'll let William Longinesse of Fox News explain what's going on. Let's start with 65, Michael.
Oceanside, California. 200 goats hired by San Diego Gas and Electric clear brush under power lines ahead of fire season. The livestock are a popular eco-friendly alternative to bulldozers or chemicals. This could end, however, under a bill backed by the California Labor Federation that turns goat herders into hourly farm workers, paid time and a half even when they're not working. But former Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, who sponsored the law, says it's about protecting workers.
To make sure that the workers who are associated with it aren't being abused, that they're not being taken advantage of, that they, in fact, are being treated fairly.
What the hell is wrong with you people? There are people with goats willing to do this, clearly, by supply and demand standards. You can see it right in front of your eyes, but you want to get in the way of that. Why?
She's a Marxist. This is the gal who got AB5 going, the notorious California law, which made it illegal to be a gig worker, illegal to be a freelancer, an actor, a musician. The Uber drivers, although anybody who had enough political clout to get themselves written out of the bill, did. But it's an effort to get everybody into the freaking SEIU, the big union. That's what she's all about, to get. She is a union money-grubbing, just viper, if in my opinion. Clip 67, Michael.
We're all about fairness. We don't want to lose these people.
Johnny Gonzalez owns 2,000 goats. Most companies, like his, bring herders here on visas, typically from Peru, and are paid about $4,000 a month, plus room, food, and phone. But if the union bill goes through, their pay will jump to $14,000 a month, more than most can afford.
By January 1 of 24, if we cannot fix the current legislation, we will be forced to sell these goats to slaughter and to the auction yards, and we'll be forced out of business and probably file for bankruptcy.
There you go. So these guys come from Peru. They're making 50 grand a year, plus room and board and a phone. They're thrilled with it. And I've watched these operations. When there's nothing to do, the sheepdogs take care of it all. And these guys sleep or, you know, fix fences necessary or what have you. But there's not all that much to do until it's time to move the fences. Then they put in probably a pretty good long day, and they go sleep.
And so you're going to make it too expensive to exist.
Exactly. You're going to put them all out of business and or unionize. And, again, so lots and lots of people out of business, a bunch of businesses end, wildfires destroy property and kill people. That's Lorena Gonzalez for you. She's evil. E-V-I-L, all caps.
Or do they believe that the market won't adjust the other side of it? I was talking to my kids about this with minimum wage and everything. Like, they had this conversation the other day about, you know, why it works for McDonald's now to have these automated computer systems that you walk in touch screens to order your food. Well, they finally made it expensive enough to hire a human being, and the computers got cheap enough that, well, just do the computer then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, she's a committed, I'm trying to come up with the right word that won't get us in trouble. She's a dedicated socialist, Marxist, union goon. And all about everybody having to be in unions, which will give them enormous power and wealth. And that's her. That's how she makes a living. I believe she's a committed Marxist.
Even the San Francisco Chronicle, though, when they raised the minimum wage the last time, had articles about coffee shops and bookstores that were going to have to close because they only had a couple employees or small operations. You couldn't stay open at the wage they were going to be forced to pay. As Tim Sanford always says, you're making certain jobs illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
You're making it illegal for me to say, I give you $12 worth of value per hour. I like this work. I'm happy with that wage. You're making it illegal for me to do that.
Right. I'm either young or retiree or this is my second job. I'm willing to do this for this wage. It's great for me. You made it illegal for me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Because you've got to pay everybody who can fog a mirror a quote-unquote living wage. If they bring you $3 of value per hour, you've got to pay them $15 per hour because everybody who does anything should make enough to support a household. Since when? According to whom?
And now there's a movement for the individual goats to get paid $15 an hour and get free community college to start with. You know that'll become a four-year college before you know it.
And then the vote, the goat vote.
And the goats will have the vote. We'll be paying for their abortions.
You know, we've got to get the animal rights people involved because they're going to slaughter all these goats. They're not going to give them, like, you know, a car and $10,000 to get their lives started. They're going to freaking kill them and eat them.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Paid after, not a real customer. Quote based on the healthy, non-smoking 44-year-old male with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary.
Welcome to Ethos, a new kind of insurance company that believes life insurance should be hassle-free, affordable, and accessible for everyone.
For around $1 a day, I got a 20-year, $250,000 term life insurance policy without a medical exam. All I had to do was answer a few health questions and snap, family protected. It was quick and easy. Ethos is 100% online. I got a quote in seconds, applied in minutes, and got coverage in hours. Just answer a few health questions. No medical exam, no blood tests, no hassle. Look, nobody wants to plan for the unthinkable, but it would be so much worse to not plan at all. So don't put it off. It feels great having the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected.
Ethos, the 100% online hassle-free way to get affordable life insurance. Don't wait. Get your free online quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
The 4th of July is an important holiday for all Americans. Hi, this is Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. For some husbands, however, in troubled marriages, holidays are marked more by hardship than harmony. If you're such a guy and considering divorce, know all your options, including alternatives to divorce. We advise, we advocate, and when necessary, we litigate.
500 Capitol Mall, Suite 2060, Sacramento, California, 95814. CordellCordell.com.
A leading file transfer service recently announced a breach that might have exposed millions of individuals' driver's license information. Want to help protect yourself against identity theft? Join the millions who trust LifeLock. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help detect identity threats and alert you if your information is being used. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but if there's a problem, LifeLock's identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. Save up to 25% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlie's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Look forward, face up, at OrnegillMD.com. Dr. Gill has expanded her gynecology practice to include 360-degree health. Combining aesthetics with medical expertise ensures superior outcomes. State-of-the-art AI-driven 3D scanning gives you precise and safe results for your face. Strengthen your body and look good by combining the balance of hormones and immune health with Botox, filler, and laser. Improve your confidence, zeal, and relationships at OrnegillMD.com. New liquid technology creates natural face, neck, and brow lift, as well as liquid rhinoplasty and Dr. Gill's famous lip flip. Go to OrnegillMD.com to balance your body and reclaim your best, most beautiful self. Follow Dr. Gill on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Book your appointment online at OrnegillMD.com or call 530-768-4504.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
From the Department of Critical Thinking, I guess. And, you know, some people I think are just born better at it than others. I try to get better at it, but I found both intriguing. First of all, this was sent along by alert listener Mike, and I appreciate it very much, Mike. It's about data and its usefulness and how you get it and how you interpret it. During World War II, fighter planes would come back from battle with bullet holes. The Allies found the areas that are most commonly hit by enemy fire. They sought to strengthen the most commonly damaged parts of the planes to reduce the number that were shot down. A mathematician, Abraham Wald, pointed out that perhaps there was another way to look at the data. Perhaps the reason certain areas of the plane weren't covered in bullet holes was that planes that were shot in those areas did not return. This insight led to the armor being reinforced on the parts of the plane where there weren't as many bullet holes on the planes that returned.
Fascinating! What a fascinating way to look at things.
I had the light bulb go on myself.
Wow.
The story behind the data is arguably more important than the data itself.
Oh,
more precisely, the reason behind why we are missing certain pieces of data may be more meaningful than the data we have.
That's a good one right there.
That is a good one, isn't it? moving along. This is the fabulous Kevin Williamson writing his weekly column-y thing for the Dispatch. Economics for English Majors is a little section that he does every week, and I always find intriguing. The headline from the Wall Street Journal, whose editors should know better, is, quote, wage gains lag behind inflation for another year. If the wage gains were less than inflation, then there weren't any wage gains at all. There were wage losses. A very useful concept in economics is the real wages, real GDP, real median household income over time, etc. Real simply means adjusted for inflation. And if you aren't adjusted for inflation, then you're not in the realm of the real.
Nope.
And I think we all kind of get this, but I love this description. Money, properly understood, is basically a record-keeping system. Manipulating the records does not change the real world. If you have 100 apples and they cost $10 on Tuesday, but cost $20 on Wednesday, you're not twice as wealthy in apple terms as you were the day before, only in dollar terms. And you can't bake a dollar pie. For the most part, I don't care if the increased dollar value of my stock portfolio reflects some underlying economic reality, although in the long run it must. We don't think about that sort of thing too much. But the real economy is not made up of dollars. It is made up of apples and wheat and labor and engineering services and magazine articles and all the things we make and do that add up to economic output. A great deal of modern economic policy is oriented toward trying to monkey with the record-keeping system in some clever way. But in the end, what matters is how much wheat you grow, how much work you can do, the efficacy of the software you develop, etc. When the record-keeping system becomes too disconnected with the underlying economic reality, as when, for instance, you send a huge pile of money out of the federal coffers at a time when economic production is in fact stagnant or declining, then you end up with problem inflation like we have now. Shunting money into the economy does not in and of itself add to the number of acres under cultivation or increase the available workforce or induce innovation and creativity. Making money cheaper makes it easier to access credit, which is beneficial to entrepreneurs and young firms. But another way of looking at it is that a policy of artificially cheap money is a tax on savers and a subsidy for debtors.
Oh.
That's a policy you can follow for a long time, but the correction, which are probably only beginning to really experience these days, can be painful. It is a tax on savers and a subsidy on debtors.
The first part about the apples, remember the other day I was talking about how my kids got a chunk of money for Christmas, and I thought, God, that's a lot of money. How much?
Mm-hmm.
And so I used my inflation calculator on my phone to go back to like when I was their age to figure out what that would have been to get a more realistic, because I still have a warped view of what money is, I'd say. You know, mm-hmm. I haven't kept up with inflation. It completely changes the way I look at it.
So, and then he gets to, I think, the most important part of this. Get back to the whole taxing savers and subsidizing debtors thing. It sounds a lot to me like doing some meth so you can do an all-nighter and get the job done, whatever the job is. Might work in the short term, but, oh, man, you're playing with fire. So, anyway, his conclusion, I think, is brilliant. Brilliant. What we need is an economic policy that is oriented toward the real economy, rather than a policy that's oriented toward trying to goose the economy through government spending during slow times. But that's harder to do, because when it comes to things like fixing the schools, developing an intelligent energy policy, and providing a stable, long-term regulatory and tax regime for investors so they know what to expect, it's much easier and more politically juicy to run willy-nilly from one thing to the next, lurching from crisis to crisis and policy to policy, as though the lurching were not a big part of the problem to begin with.
Mm.
Stable policy. Smart, long-term thinking, stable policy is the best thing you can do for any economy. And our political culture, it expects and causes the opposite. What can we do about it? I don't know.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with things I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of the disease called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, straight lines seem wavy, like when looking at a door frame. For others, blurry or missing spots can make it hard to read or see loved ones' faces. Many have trouble seeing in low light, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you've been diagnosed with AMD and notice vision changes, don't wait. Talk to your eye doctor about GA today. Learn more at gawontwait.com.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at kcnr1460.com.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Summertime travel can take a toll on your vehicle, including dents and dings. From door dents to possible dings at the park, from softballs or baseballs or even golf balls. That's why Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive invites you to make an appointment today for a free estimate at 530-226-0992. And they accept most major insurance companies. For summertime dents and dings, contact Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
Authority Property Management, committed to providing service-oriented solutions to owners and landlords, offering full-time management services which covers everything from screening tenants to rent collection to final walkthrough inspections when tenants move out. Authority Property Management oversees single-family homes, apartments, condominiums, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial properties. Rental pricing, available properties, and a quick and easy-to-fill-out application can be found online at authoritypm.com.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soil soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauchs Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauchsLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauchs Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Barack Obama said something on a podcast that got a fair amount of attention over the weekend about Republican candidates in race. Then Tim Scott was on Fox News Sunday yesterday to respond to that. Let's hear both of those.
I think there is a long history of African-American or other minority candidates within the Republican Party who will validate Americans, say everything's great and we can all make it.
There's no higher compliment to be attacked by President Obama. Whenever the Democrats feel threatened, they pull out, drag out the former president and have him make some negative comments about someone running, hoping that their numbers go down. Here is what people need to know. The truth of my life disproves the lies of the radical left. You talk about addressing the issue of poverty. My opportunity zones have seen more than $50 billion go into the poorest, hardest hit communities in this country. The majority of them are minority. Think about the HBCU funding that in his administration, he totally missed it. We took the funding for HBCUs to the highest level in the history of the country, and then we made it permanent. And the radical left and the teachers unions refused to allow quality education in big blue cities. I support school choice because I support common sense. The radical left and President Obama, they have failed, they have failed, and they have failed.
So Barack Obama saying candidates of color or Republicans say everything's great. No,
I've never heard a black Republican say that.
No, nobody's saying that. Yeah. But denying there's been unbelievable progress, which was a point he made in a speech when he was president.
Repeatedly.
Great speech he made one time. Remember, what was that? What was the incident that brought that about? He gave a great speech about people from his father's generation. I don't think he used his father because his father lived in Kenya. But that generation, not recognizing all the progress that had been made. But, you know, now he's helping campaign for other Democrats. So nobody's making that claim. And then Tim Scott saying, you can't tell me that I didn't do what I did in the United States of America. Later in that answer, he also says, by the way, you're a black guy who got elected twice with the highest approval rating of anybody since Eisenhower. So what?
The game is fixed. Fixed against you. You can't win. Give up. You're a loser.
One of the knocks on Tim Scott, and he demonstrated it right there, he's got, I'm a senator disease. He used several terms there that nobody knows what they mean, unless you're also a U.S. senator. Talking about opportunity zones and the HCUV or whatever. Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, that's senator talk.
Yeah, interesting. You would think, given his background, he could, get that in check. You can remind himself.
Reminds me of John Kerry used to do that all the time when he was running for president, throwing out various terms and committees and bills and stuff like we all are fixated on those the way they are.
Yeah.
Okay, we got another clip. Is this Tim Scott? More Tim Scott? More Tim Scott.
There is a way for us to alleviate poverty, not by race, but by the statistics themselves. That's what America stands for. And if anyone should be standing and shouting at the mountaintops that America is not a racist country, it should be the man that Americans supported twice for the nomination and becoming president. The evolution of America is palpable. Progress in this nation, undeniable.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's just the game of politics. You have to present things as bleakly or as optimistically as you can to try to win people over. I still contend, I actually believe this. I believe Hillary got more votes because she was a woman, not less. I believe mm-hmm. Barack Obama got more votes because he was black, not less. I think it was a net plus being black, just like for Hillary, it was a net plus being white. Wouldn't have been decades ago? Absolutely not. But it is now.
You know, on both sides, grievance is such a powerful tool in politics. You can get people fired up by telling them they're screwed and I'm going to stop it. I mean, it's always been a huge part of politics. It's a ginormous part of politics now. Again, it exists on both sides. It's why ambulance chaser billboards line the highways of America. If you're aggrieved, you have that power of righteous indignation. It's a good feeling. But around race, it's become increasingly corrosive to the point where you have people claiming, as Tim Scott was addressing, that there's been no progress in race relations in America in like the last 100 years, which is a bit like saying there's been no progress in air travel either in the last 150 years. None at all. I mean, it's every bit as absurd.
I remember when Barack Obama won and George Stephanopoulos talking about how he cried because he didn't think it would ever happen in this country. And I thought, you, the liberal, thought a black man couldn't be president. Me, the conservative, I'm not surprised at all that a black guy got elected president. Why not?
No, he's a charismatic young politician. He ran a good campaign. It's not shocking in the least.
Yeah, so that's weird, isn't it?
Well, that's because the left is so obsessed with race and racism. And that is also why the woke crowd is trying to convince you, focus on race, always on race. You've always got to be aware of people's race. Because if America doesn't give a damn what your race is, they just look at your qualifications, they lose that power of grievance that gives them their wealth and their fame and their funding from Nike and Coca-Cola and who am I leaving out? Whatever. They've got to stoke that or they lose their reason for being.
Tim Scott touted the fact that he's now third in a number of polls. That's a little like claiming you're the smartest horse, that joke. I mean, it's Trump way at the top. You drop 30 points down to DeSantis. Then you drop down to single digits for everybody else. But Tim Scott's the highest of those. And who knows, maybe growing. He's my favorite of the crowd out there, so we'll see what he does. But for the guy on top, Trump, he's got this whole indictment thing. Don't know if you heard about it. Around the classified documents and not giving them back and all that sort of stuff. So a bunch of polls have come out since the indictment. He has stayed steady or grown. There's no indication whatsoever that it's done him any harm, which is kind of interesting on its own. And now the Harvard-Harris poll shows a majority of Americans think he should be pardoned, which I thought was really interesting.
That is interesting.
The belief is from Jonathan Turley and Mark Halpern, a couple of different people I read over the weekend, that it is going to become a thing for candidates really soon. If a majority of Americans think Trump should be pardoned, pretty soon all the candidates out there are going to have to be saying, I will pardon him.
All the Republican candidates?
Republican candidates are going to have to be willing to say out loud, I would pardon him. It's a majority of the country believes that. For Republicans, it's like 85%.
Boy, you're right. It's a one-foot putt.
Yeah, so you're going to have to say I would pardon him. So I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole on revisiting the whole pardon of Nixon back in the day by Gerald Ford. And trying to figure out, I got into a conversation with somebody about how that whole worked. It's an open question whether or not Trump could pardon himself once he's president. Most people seem to think he could, but it's never been done before. So it would probably get challenged, and the Supreme Court would have to weigh in on it. But he probably can pardon himself. But he could, if the trial hasn't started yet, which most people believe, although the judge that supposedly is in the bag for Trump over the weekend told the lawyers they need to hurry a couple of things up So it looked like she's trying to get this going faster, which does not help Trump at all.
Right. His whole legal team is clearly trying to slow this thing.
But the judge indicated that I'm not going to let you spend like 3 months trying to figure this out or that out. Have an answer by Tuesday.
Wow.
So that gives it a little more of a chance that it could at least start before the election. But if it doesn't start till after the election, Trump doesn't have to wait until he's convicted or not to pardon himself, because Nixon was pardoned for any crimes he may have committed before it even went to trial. That was the official wording of the pardon. But here's something I didn't know. So Gerald Ford paid a very heavy price for pardoning Nixon. The polling on that was not good at the time. It almost certainly is why he lost a close election to Jimmy Carter. I mean, a lot of the country didn't dig the pardon. And I remember as a kid being told by my parents that they must have made a deal. And I know a lot of people still believe that. There's no evidence out there that that is the case, that there was any deal made of, you know, hey, you resign, I'll pardon you, and I get to be president. That never happened. There's no evidence of that. Nobody in the ensuing years has ever written anything about a conversation like that. Gerald Ford just thought it would be bad for the country to go through the whole process, and I think he was right. And much later in life, Ted Kennedy, who was really against the pardon at the time, Ted Kennedy gave Gerald Ford the Profile in Courage Award, which is named after the book his brother didn't actually write but won a Pulitzer Prize for, about the idea when politicians go out and, you know, do things that are not beneficial to them politically, but they think it's the right thing to do. Ted Kennedy came around to believing that it was the right thing for Ford to do, which, to me, ends the conversation. But Gerald Ford was so bothered by the perception, he carried in his pocket a card that had the text of how the presidential pardon works and what it means. And I didn't know this. A pardon means, according to the Constitution, it is the pardoner, the president, saying, we believe you're guilty. And it is the receiver saying, I'm admitting I'm guilty. That is what the pardon is. I've never heard that before. I don't think that's the way it's interpreted by most people. I don't think most people think that all those people over the years that have received a pardon are admitting their guilt.
So is there a ceremony where all of this is stated, or a folk dance or something like that, or a tattoo? Or
you have to wear a scarlet P on your head.
Pardon.
So everybody knows right. You were pardoned by the president and were admitting your guilt. I don't think people know that. I think that should be more explicitly said, like I think you're indicating.
Yeah.
When you know, presidents pardon their various friends on the last moments they're in office, you know, noon January 20th, it should be stated more clearly that this is me saying you're guilty and you saying, yeah, I am.
Right, right. Will that ever be communicated to people, or Trump, or will anybody care?
Or will anybody care?
Yeah.
Well, I think if we're communicated, that's a different thing, though. Well, I don't know.
If you want to know why Ford pardoned Nixon, here's a great metaphor for you. Tell me what you think about this. I preemptively declared it great.
I know the reason, Illuminati.
That was haughty of me and despicable. If halfway through COVID, somebody could have made it so we weren't arguing about Trump anymore.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden, people would just be for or against opening schools based on science, or be for and against vaccines based on the evidence, et cetera, et cetera. Ford thought, we got to end this. The whole Watergate thing, the obsession with Nixon, we've got rampant inflation, we're coming off the Vietnam War, things are ugly in a lot of ways, we can't be in our camps over Nixon anymore. That's why he did it, and I think he was right to do it.
If a majority of Americans think Trump should be pardoned, does Biden at any point say he would pardon Trump?
God save the Queen, man.
We got to play that again when we come back, if you haven't heard that.
Yeah, repeatedly. I'd have to see how it polled among Democrats. Of course, whether Joe Biden loves his country more than his party at this point, I thought I could answer that question 5 years ago. Now I can't. Is he sincere? Does he actually know what's going on? Can he comprehend it? I don't know.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Your pet isn't just a pet. They're part of your family. Most of the pet food on the market is cooked at high temperatures, which kills nutrients. A scoop of Dynavite is a 3-in-1 daily supplement, adding back key nutrients to your pup's health. Try Dynavite for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at dinovite.com/radio. That's dinovite.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
What if your home's title, the document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? That's home title theft. Home titles are online, and once a criminal forges your signature, he'll take out loans against your home, or worse, sell it. Home Title Lock helps shut it down. They do better than anyone. Has some criminal taken over the title to your home? Find out for free and get 30 free days of protection with sign-up. Use promo code radio at HometitleLock.com. Promo code radio at HometitleLock.com.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
Well, it's a patented T ingredient called Testofen. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. It's backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text SERVE to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text SERVE to 321321. That's SERVE to 321321.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Redding has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Redding. Quick and clean.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in 2 locations, Anderson Outlets and in Redding at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Tulum would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Came across this poll. I was unhappy with the results. If I was a good talk show host, I suppose I would bury this information because it doesn't fit with my narrative. This is a University of Massachusetts Amherst poll asking the question, or putting this sentence to you, and you agree or disagree. Being a man or a woman is something that is permanent and cannot be changed. Or being a man or woman is something that can be changed and is largely up to the individual. It's on our side, but I was hoping it would be way more overwhelming than it is. Overall, all Americans, 60% say it's something that can't be changed. You are what you are. But that does give you 35% who say it's largely up to the individual, which is a higher number than I was hoping for. You break it down, men and women, it's about two-thirds of men say you are what you are. It's a little less for women. The most interesting part is when you break it by down by education, which I suppose would be the argument. But anyway, we'll get into that next. Break it down by education. High school or less, two-thirds say you are what you are. College degree, two-thirds say you are what you are. Postgraduate degree, 38% say you are what you are.
Oh.
So if you got a postgraduate degree, it's like half the others. Isn't that something that even college degree... It's at 63% and it drops way down to 38 for that next, because I think, don't you think it's a certain sort of person? It's not what you learn that next year or two. I think it's you tend to be a certain sort of person that goes for the graduate degree.
Right. That's what we were talking about yesterday. Luxury values. You need to signal that you are part of the hyper enlightened set. You are the super intellectual set. And that's how you do it these days.
That's a noticeable difference.
A shocking difference.
Yeah. We all should think about that.
I saw a poll the other day that 68% of Americans are against biological men competing against women. So almost 70%. The fact that it's only 70% is shocking to me.
I know. Well, and as I said last week when we were talking about this, I'd like to know what percentage has been frightened, scared, herded by the unanimous view that comes to you through mainstream media. I mean, if you just kind of pay attention and don't have the courage of your own convictions, and you're taking in the world through the evening news or Saturday Night Live or whatever, you'd be of the impression everybody thinks this is a choice, whether you're a man or a woman. I'd be a real idiot, hater, transphobic if I didn't agree. I'd like to know what that percentage is. That he said, no, actually, you're in the majority. Oh, I am? Well, then I'm on board with them.
Wow, if you just give me 10% as answering that description, or just afraid to say what they really think because of that unanimous presentation you described, if you give me 10%, we're at 78%.
Yeah.
And it's more than 10%, I guarantee you.
Boy, the numbers are basically flipped for postgraduate versus just a regular college degree. That's wild.
I think it isn't. Sorry to oversimplify, but I think most people, their views are informed by reality, the reality they observe in their lives, work, family, etc. Your super educated PhD class, their views are entirely formed in the classroom.
But you know what their view would be? We're the most educated people out here. We're the right ones.
Yeah, shut up. I'm not going to waste my limited intellect on you, you crazy person. Actually, you know what would be a really, really interesting read? You'd have to dumb it down a little for me, but to get into Thomas Sowell's great quote that there are some ideas so ridiculous, or whatever term he used, that only an intellectual could hold them. How does that work exactly in the ego? If I believe something like an intact marriage is best for children, men should not compete against women in sports, What's another good one? I don't know. If you commit a crime, you ought to feel the consequences for it.
You can get ahead by working hard.
Yeah, I have not distinguished myself from the masses at all in saying those things. Is that it? They have to distinguish themselves from the probably 80% that say, no, men should not compete against women in sport, in women's sports. That's ridiculous. So that makes me part of the 80%. If I'm some sort of Harvard PhD, that's the worst fate. I'm part of the masses? No, I'm not. I'm better than them. Is it as simple as that, you think?
I spent 10 years of college making sure I'm not part of the masses. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Your theories, thoughts, a lot of you are dang smart. Mailbag at armstrongandgetty.com is the email address. Mailbag at armstrongandgetty.com.
Armstrong and Getty.
That's not inspiring.
It's not fair.
It seems irresponsible.
It's cold.
You know, it's not a victory. It's a surrender.
It's so childish. It's so juvenile.
Yeah, upper
end. Yeah, this is great.
Whee!
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.